All right, Rich, you look.
The story you are about to hear is true.
Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol. Hey, how are you, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in this spiritual warfare, this cosmic spiritual warfare that began at the very beginning of time with the fall of Adam and Eve? I am here with my beloved wife, Anita, a.k.a. Sarah. My name is Jesse Romero, a.k.a. Tobias.
Yes, welcome, listeners. It's always good to be here with you, and we're here to, our goal is to encourage you.
That's right.
And to share with you and help you live the faith so you can go out into the public square and just share your faith of what you've learned. So that's our goal here, is to help each other. Iron sharpens iron, right, sweetie?
Amen.
Absolutely.
You know, last night, I just want to mention something before we continue on the show, children of light, children of darkness. I'll give you an example, then we'll go right into scripture.
Yeah,
but last night, it was very beautiful at the RNC convention. There was a singer by the name Christopher Macchio. At the very end, most people turned it off and went about their family duties or domestic chores. But this opera singer named Christopher Macchio, who was on the White House balcony, he did something that I've never seen a president in the United States do, Anita. What he did, he serenaded the president and his family with the what?
With the Ave Maria.
In Latin.
Yes.
Are you kidding
me? Beautiful.
Again, I've never seen a president be serenaded with the Ave Maria in the White House. It was absolutely incredible. And I don't think many people understand the significance of that. But think about this. The Blessed Virgin Mary was invited yesterday to the White House. And furthermore, if most people don't know, there's a statue of Our Lady of Fatima inside the White House. It was given to the president and his wife by a Catholic priest.
Little did everyone know that they, while listening to that music, they were also praying that music, that song, praying to Mary. Because when you, even Protestants, I've heard Protestants sing that hymn, and they don't realize they're saying the Hail Mary.
That's right.
What it is. To our lovely lady dressed in blue.
And by the way, I also want to mention, give kudos. There was a nun a few days ago, a fully habited nun who was a MD and also was a soldier. I mean, this woman's like done everything in life. And now she's an Orthodox Catholic nun. And she made such a powerful appeal for Catholics to vote for the pro-life candidate. And we know who that is. It's President Trump and Mike Pence. It was such a powerful message.
It was. I love the way she added, you know, I am also pro eternal life.
Oh, that's right.
That she added, we all are. That's what we want. We're pro eternal life.
But you can't be pro eternal
life
if
you're not
pro life, natural
absolutely,
life.
Absolutely.
If you're pro death, you're not going to be, you're not going
right.
to garner eternal life in heaven.
You need the natural.
Yes. You have to be pro natural life. To receive pro supernatural eternal life. Anita, we're going to continue on this two teams. Again, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we really can on spiritual warfare. And we were talking last time we were together about children of light, children of darkness, but there's a good little article I think that's going to, I'm going to use it as a segue to get into our topic again. It's written by a good Catholic guy named Richard Del Orfano. He listens to the show all the time. He writes this, it's short, he writes, in 1967, during my hippie days, I stood on a landing between the first and second floor of the Boston Public Library during the 160-year-old side-by-side marble busts of Christ and Lucifer. Sculpted in 1845, these have been on display in the library since 1895 at the Boston Public Library. Okay, a bust of Jesus and a bust of Lucifer. Okay, why would they want a bust of Lucifer? I have no idea. He writes, come 1968, after the assassinations of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr., in the midst of his nonviolent civil rights campaign, All hell broke loose with flag-burning riots, looting, and marches. In 1970, it was the Kent Massacre when the Ohio National Guard killed four and wounded nine unarmed students, followed by dramatic massive protests against the Vietnam War. These shootings have certainly come to symbolize the deep political and social divisions that so sharply divided the country during the Vietnam War era. Can you pick it up, Anita?
In that same year, some deranged man lunged at the bust of Christ in the Boston Public Library and tried to vandalize it. Before he could do much harm, a library employee tackled him. But the statue of Lucifer remained untouched. Then in 2007, a major financial crisis brought on the Great Recession. A library surveillance video showed a man and a woman attacking the bust of Christ, which sat behind a railing. The female threw a blunt object at the sculpture and by forcing it off a ledge, smashing it to pieces. The two vandals ran out of the library, eluding a police canvas of Copley Square. Again, the statue of Lucifer remained unharmed. Last time I checked, about 3 years ago, the bust of Christ was still a pile of crushed fragments, perhaps due to weak-willed administrators or insufficient restoration funding. I doubt that. The library was yet to respond to my recent inquiry. In 2020, social unrest and sharp political division was surfaced again, provoked by the isolation of the pandemic and the economic shutdown. Mobs with idle hands in the devil's workshop began by attacking historical statues like Robert E. Lee and famous Civil War Confederates. Groping for more outrageous targets, rioters have disfigured statues of Christ and his saints as, quote, inexcusable symbols of white supremacy.
This will launch into our topic.
Here comes our mother.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the Mother Mary. Pray for us. Ora pro nobis. Reza por nosotros. Rega por nosotros. Enjoy. We'll be back. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray for us.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Yes, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Ora pro nobis, rega por nosotros. Let's pray a spiritual warfare prayer by Pope Leo XIII. Name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We'll do it in Latin now. Sancti Michele Arcangeli, defendenos in praelio, contra nequitiam et insidias diaboli esto presidium, imperet ili Deo supplicesta precamur tuque, princeps malitiae celestis, satanam aliosque, spiritus malignos, quia perditionem animarum pervagantur in mundo, divina virtute in inferno de trude. Amen.
Nomini Patri, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
So we're talking about children of light, children of darkness. The article ends with this, and we'll go right into a good Bible study. The article says, why did that couple in 2007 smash the bust of Christ and leave Lucifer's unharmed? We will never discover the specific answer, but attacking Christ again and again can offer only temporary relief from the unresolved guilt and unforgiveness. In other words, I'll tell you why they smashed the bust of Christ in this Boston library, not the bust of Satan. It's because there's two teams on planet Earth, and the children of darkness, that's one team. The children of light is another team. In fact, Anita, I believe his name's Saint Fulton Sheen. I know he's Venerable Fulton Sheen right now. He spoke about it very clearly back in the 70s about these two camps.
Yes, he did. He said, the world is rapidly being divided into two camps. The comradeship of Antichrist and the Brotherhood of Christ. The lines between these two are being drawn. How long the battle will be, we don't know. Whether swords will have to be unsheathed, we know not. Whether blood will have to be shed, we know not. Whether it will be an armed conflict, we know not. But in a conflict between truth and darkness, truth cannot lose. And I believe we're not going to lose, because at the end of the Bible, it says there's victory.
Absolutely. We're on the winning team, but it doesn't mean.
But we're right now in the battle. We know we're going to win, but we are in the battle.
Spiritual and physical.
Yeah. I think a lot of these people that are this Antifa, they don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. They don't realize that all of us you listeners out there and Jesse and I, we know who we are. Who are we? We are a child of God. That's who we are.
That's where you get your dignity from. You don't get it from anything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. The dignity. It's not, and they're focusing on what they do. They identify themselves of what they do as person.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I am a rioter. I am an anarchist. I am a Marxist. That's how they identify. Because they do not know God, and they do not know that they are a child of God.
In fact, the Catechism even says that in 2087. It says that all the moral deviations in society are because people do not know God. K-N-O-W. Knowing God means, in Hebrew, to know God is the Hebrew word yada, which means intimate experiential knowledge, just like a baby knows his mother. That's the type of intimacy. They don't know God, these writers.
No, they don't.
And as Venerable Fulton Sheen said, they're part of the camp of the Antichrist, and we're part of the camp of Christ. There's two teams. It's pretty simple. This is not rocket science.
Right.
Now, why is it that you see, for example, a lot of these anarchists and, you know, terrorists and cartels and gang members do what they do? I'll tell you why. Because everything has to do with moral conscience. The moral conscience is like the siren. If you're a man of prayer and faith, and you receive the sacraments, you receive that sacramental flow, your moral conscience is going to be properly formed. But if you're not a person of faith, a person of prayer, and you don't receive the sacraments, your moral conscience will be deformed. In fact, St. Paul has an entire verse on this, Anita, in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 to 23.
You know, the moral conscience is what's the inner sense of what's right and wrong. You know, we know when we're going to do something, if it's right or if it's wrong, if it's vice or virtue. So that's, here we go. Let's see, Romans chapter 1, verse 19, verse 19 to 23. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile, foolish, worthless in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles.
See, this is what happened. If you don't worship God, you're going to start worshiping the created, the creation, animals, you know, and, all these other social justice warrior issues. But God can be plainly known, and those people that don't acknowledge God, again, they're exchanging their God-given birthright for all kinds of horizontal issues. You know, we want to just save the whales, and we want to take plastic out of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
An atheist, an agnostic, a lukewarm Christian, when you start moving away from God, what ends up happening is your intellect gets darkened, as the Bible says. Your thinking becomes foolish, senseless, darkened. And so there comes a point in time where you don't even have the ability to reason and think coherently and properly according to God's word, because you have no moral clarity. And so what do? You join Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street, or all these other community organizing groups that use bully tactics and violence as a way of trying to get their message across.
Yeah, do you think there is a dual meaning there when it says, so they are without excuse, because clearly his eternal power and deity has been clearly perceived in things that have been made, so they are without excuse.
Yeah.
God, when he created the angels and demons, they were without excuse.
Yeah, he created all the angels. Yeah, in other words, this is saying here what the church said at Vatican I. This is called God can be known just by reason alone. You don't have to ever read the Bible or the catechism, and you'll know just by looking at the created order, you know there's a supernatural power greater than all of us.
Yes.
That's called knowing through reason alone. You don't even have to ever read a Bible or a catechism to know that there's a supernatural person called God. Or you can call him what you want, but he's a supernatural being far superior to any one of us. No beginning, no end, knows everything, all powerful, present everywhere. Moral conscience, in John chapter 11, verse 9 and 10, let me deploy this verse. Jesus answered, he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. There you go. Jesus is saying, okay, you either walk in intellectual darkness, moral darkness, or intellectual and moral light. The moral light is following the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And in the natural law right now, you know, you see the rioters, they come out at night, not during the
just
day.
Just like demons.
You know, they like to be hidden. They like to be concealed.
Just like
concealment. That's why these masks are just so perfect for them. So it gives them the opportunity is advantageous, advantageous to them, so that they can, you know, commit crimes and do harm to those that are out there.
Let's look at Isaiah chapter 42, verse
Isaiah
16 and 17.
Yeah, and I will lead the blind in a way that they know not, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them.
So how would you comment on that?
So if you follow Jesus and lead a life of prayer, a reception of the sacraments, you have moral clarity. And if you don't have faith, you don't have moral clarity, and you make one mistake after another. And we see that within our families, everywhere. we're seeing it now. It's just so vivid and
painful to watch.
Yeah, it is painful.
Because we don't want anybody to go to hell.
Absolutely not. We want air. That's why we need to pray for those. We got to pray for those.
We want all people to be saved.
Absolutely.
Hey, I want to say hi to
charity.
I want to say hello to all the people in the chat.
Yeah.
Looking at.
There's Juana Gutierrez. Hi.
Beth Vasquez. Rocky.
Jose.
George Ortiz. Jose Robledo.
Elizabeth. Yolanda. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, a lot of regulars. Ricky. Yeah. George Ortiz. Hey, God bless all you guys for listening on the chat and for being supportive of VNPR.org. Yeah. Jose Robledo says good morning. Yeah. Okay. And Ophelia and many others. Here's what happens when you walk in darkness. Sin is the result of walking in darkness. Okay, you're just gonna live and be embedded, entrenched in a life of sin, like sitting in the jacuzzi and soaking in the water. When you walk in darkness, you're gonna be sitting in that jacuzzi of sin. And in fact, the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 14 to 19, warns us about walking in darkness. Look what the scripture says.
Yeah, I love this book of Proverbs. A lot of wisdom here. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Mm. But the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Sin leads to wickedness, violence, and lack of moral clarity.
You don't believe me? Turn on the television and watch these
people are stumbling.
These blue city, mm-hmm. Blue cities and blue states. And watch these young anarchists. It's exactly what the Bible says. Sin leads to wickedness. Sin leads to violence. And there's a lack of moral clarity. God's word is vindicated every single day when you look at human behavior.
Yep. When
Yeah, let's go into... So again, the point that we're making here is that sin is the result of walking in darkness. St. Paul says it in Romans chapter 13, verses 12 to 13. Look at this. It's powerful what he says.
Yeah, he says... The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in revealing and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy.
Notice he's talking to us like soldiers.
Yeah.
Take off that uniform of darkness and put on this armor, this
light,
uniform
which is
of
God.
Light.
This is Christ.
Yeah, Christ.
Absolutely.
Darkness is Satan. It's simple. New Testament theology is very clear. It's very black and white. It's not 50 shades of gray. That's of Satan. I hear the beautiful
music.
Hear
our lady coming in.
She's coming to protect us and pray for us. That's what she does. She prays for us and protects us. That's the two roles of our lady. We'll be right back. We'll continue with Jesus 911, talking about children of light, children of darkness, and try to give you God's word.
Pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Join VMPR live on YouTube September 12, 2020, for our latest free conference, The Ultimate Challenge. This exclusive virtual event will feature a brand new talk from Jesse Romero, How Apologetics Brought Me Back to Faith, plus never-before-broadcast video presentations from Dr. Scott Hahn, Father Mitch Pacwa, and the late, great Father Benedict Groeschel. Go to vmpr.org to register now and get ready to face the ultimate challenge.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Pray for us. Ora pro nobis. Prega por nosotros. How do you like this, friendly? We're back. Jesus 911.
Like
retired cop, retired nurse. Both of us are missionaries. That's what we are. See, what do you guys do now? We are Catholic missionaries. What does that mean? That means that we've spent our life promoting the true gospel, which is the Catholic gospel of Jesus Christ. And we travel from one venue to another.
And tonight we'll be in Napa.
Yeah, we're going to Napa. Where at?
Napa at the Colby Academy. Jesse will be giving two talks in Spanish and then two talks in English on Saturday. Just look at our website, jesseromero.com.
Oh, I'd love to see you guys
schedule,
out there.
And there is the information for
yep.
you.
So we're talking about sin as the result of walking in darkness. The book of Revelation chapter 16, verse 10 also tells us this. What does it read, babe?
It says, the fifth angel poured his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was in darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in anguish.
There it is. The kingdom of Satan, which is still on earth, by the way. It's not only in hell, it's on earth as well. It's what? It's in darkness. Yes. And the fact is, people walk in darkness. I'll tell you why they walk in darkness is because you'll see, number one, we live in an intoxicated culture. The lack of sobriety and a person's disordered passions that are not mastered by faith and prayer are a result of living a life of sin and vice. This reminds me of pagan Rome. Pagan Rome under Nero, it was this atheistic, idolatrous kingdom where money, power, and sexual immorality were worshipped 2,000 years ago. And right now, as a result of the liberals, the progressives, and the Democrats, guess what? Our money, our country is like a Xerox copy of pagan Rome today. And we're suffering the same sins as pagan Rome did. We need to get back to Jesus. So we're demonstrating right from Scripture that sin is the result of walking in darkness. What does our Lord say about this, babe?
Okay, our Lord says, and the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 22 to 23, the eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know, it's funny. I read this. The eye is the lamp of the body. On the natural level, the eye has the optic nerve, which connects to the brain. And that optic nerve, really, when ophthalmologists look in your eye, they're looking for a disease. That's how they determine a disease, that there's something, high blood pressure, stroke, anything neurological that may be occurring, brain tumor, anything that may be occurring in your brain. And so is your eyes a lamp to the soul? So it's not only on a natural level, we can tell that there's sickness, which is the same thing as sin. We're sick. So is the eyes a lamp of the soul. So it tells us if our soul is sick.
Wow, that's powerful. So the eye, I mean, this is deep what our Lord is saying. On a natural and supernatural level, the experts can tell if you're sick from looking at the eye.
Right.
And that's what our Lord is saying here.
Mm-hmm. And it has twofold.
Jeremiah the prophet says something very powerful also about, you know, sin being the result of walking in darkness. Jeremiah the prophet, what does he say?
He says, "Hear and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord, your God, before he brings darkness, before your feet stumble on the twilight mountains, and while you look for the light, he turns it into gloom and makes it deep darkness. But if you will not listen, my soul will weep in secret for your pride."
Oh, the last word just unpeels what Jeremiah the prophet said. Your pride brings you darkness. There it is.
There's Satan. That's why he.
That's the sin of Satan.
Yep, pride.
Your pride will bring you intellectual and moral darkness.
Yes.
And by the same token, what's the opposite of pride? Humility. Humility will bring you the light of Christ. Christ taught us humility. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that, taking the Philippians chapter 2, taking the form of man. Okay, he humbled himself, taking the form of man. That's why every time we do the prayers in the Catholic faith on God becoming a man, we either bow our head or genuflect. Anita, what could you say about these two verses that you just shared?
Yeah, we must take custody of our senses, especially our eyes.
Especially men, by the way.
Absolutely,
especially men.
And that's where women have a responsibility also. You know, the way you dress.
To dress properly.
The way you present yourself, that has a lot to do with men's reactions. What kind of reaction did you want to get from a man? Do you want to get respect or disrespect? It's one or the other. Because, you know, what we see affects our behavior, and if what we see is sinful, evil, ugly, false, it would affect our reasoning process and behavior. Garbage in, garbage out. So that's why it's very important. Our senses really, that's the gateway to the soul, our eyes.
In fact, you know who just said that is St. John Vianney. He says our five senses are the areas where the demons attack us. It's basically that's where we have to guard them. But God has power over darkness, and the Bible clearly tells us that God has power over darkness. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, the scripture says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light." By the way, the Catholic Church says that verse 3, that's when all the angels were created out of nothing. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. Right there, that verse. "And God saw that the light was good." That says the angels were good. "And God separated the light from the darkness." So we already also see immediately a third of the demons, because things were revealed to them much more than were revealed to the human person. And so there was already a separation right in the beginning. A third of the angels fell because they did not want to worship God, who would become a man, and honor the woman, the queen mother. And so it says, God separated the light from the darkness. That alludes to the one third of the angels that fell and became demons or unclean spirits. And the Bible says, "God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day."
That's amazing how, you know, you read this scripture over and over. And because of the beauty of the church to be able to explain this and exegese these scripture verses, we wouldn't know that. So it brings you into deeper into the waters. You're deep sea diving.
That's right.
When it comes to this exegesis and seeing something it's not
apparent on the surface.
Absolutely.
Because we're looking at the popes and saints and doctors of the church that look at that verse and they're guided by God's Spirit. They're men of prayer. A lot of these priests and clergy that do the exegesis, the fathers of the church, they studied on their knees. They studied the Bible on their knees in caves, fasting. This is why their penetration into God's word is so deep. But what else would you say about this verse that I just deployed?
God, he has supernatural power. Demons only have preternatural power. Remember, God, supernatural, demons,
preternatural
power.
Humans?
And humans, natural. So okay. There you go.
Boom, 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 down.
Only God can create and sustain. Demons cannot create or sustain.
That's the big difference. Yep. Demons can only take pre-existent matter and change its form. It's called shape-shifting. Only God, not even humans or NASA or Lockheed or Boeing, only God can create something out of nothing and then sustain it. That makes him sovereign.
Without God, there's no sustenance, right?
That's right. Amen.
That's...
God has power over the darkness. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 to 23 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days." By the way, that's where some mystics get, they've been told in private revelations that there will be 3 days of darkness. It's already happened before in the time of Moses. Then it says, "They did not see one another, nor did any rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they dwelt." So there's the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. There's at least two mystics that have been told that I think they're venerable right now or blessed, that it was revealed to them that there will be 3 days of darkness in the future. And again, it's happened before. And so as Dr. Scott Hahn says, Scripture has a way of repeating itself.
And also the 3 days of when our Lord was crucified until he was resurrection. That was 3 days.
In a tomb.
So there was darkness at that point.
3 days in the tomb also.
Spiritual, yeah, right. Since spiritual darkness for the apostles and all the followers of Christ at that time.
Yes. Ezekiel 32, 7 and 8.
Here you go. "When I blot you out, I will cover the heavens and make their stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give its light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over you and put darkness upon your land, says the Lord God."
So here's what's clear. Okay, God has power over darkness, Exodus and Ezekiel. So when we walk in the light of faith, we have God's protection. But when we're faithless and walk according to our disordered passions and sinful inclinations, we do not have God's protection. But Anita, we've got to share our faith with others, correct? What does St. Paul say about that?
Yeah, St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us."
So what are we called to do?
So we're called witness. We're called to witness and to share our faith. Just like I said at the beginning of our show, and whatever good we do, when we evangelize others, we want to thank God for that. You thank God. Thank you, Jesus. This was you. Thank you for giving me those words. And here comes our lady. She's coming in
to pray for us and protect
us. Yes.
That's what she does. By the way, she's the queen and patroness of the Americas. Pray for us. Ora pro nobis, ruega por nosotros. We'll be right back.
Pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty." According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
That's what Our Lady does. She does two things. She prays for us because she's the Queen Mother of Heaven, and all power has been given to her. She has the full authority of God. And secondly, she also protects us. She has this, one of her roles is to protect us, just like a what they call mama bears. She's the ultimate mama bear from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and the devil knows it, that she has full plenary power and a coercive power over the diabolical. We're almost done with this. We're talking about children of light and versus children of darkness. And just want to mention that as Catholics, there's victory in following Jesus, but the victory means that we have to live in a state of grace. We have to live in a right relationship with God. We can't be duplicitous. That means you're serving the world on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and trying to live for God on the weekends or something like that. Jesus calls that hypocrisy. We have to continue, let our light shine before men. We're not going to be here that long. Okay? The average person lives between like 78 to 84. So we're not going to be here that long on planet Earth. Let's make sure that, as they say in baseball and football, we leave it all out in the field. But there's one verse that's really powerful that talks about the victory of Christ. Anita, can you share that verse?
The verse is John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
So, that says it all right there.
Yeah, so who's the light? Victory. Jesus.
Who's the darkness? Satan. So it could be, you could actually read it, our Lord Jesus Christ shines in the darkness of Satan's world, and the darkness of Satan and his world has not overcome it. Mm-hmm. We know how it ends. There's victory when you walk with Jesus, and if you live by the obedience of faith. You're not saved by faith alone. We have to walk in obedience. That's what the whole gospel's all about. And don't say, I can't do it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah, the basic tenets of the Ten Commandments, that's the obedience. There's our guiding light to follow Christ, just following the Ten Commandments and denying the vices of the
sinful world.
The sinful world, yeah. And, I'm trying to say the seven...
Oh, the seven deadly sins.
Oh my gosh, I just lost
track. Those are the two good barometers that a Catholic can use. Like, looks like in a freeway, you got boundaries, lanes. If you stay within the Ten Commandments, and if you stay within the seven deadly sins, well, what's important, you have to know them. Then you're going to be able to walk in the obedience of faith. It's important, and that's why, for as a Catholic, it's important to know them, because this way you know what's right and what's wrong. And a lot of people don't know what offends God, what doesn't offend God, And as Catholics, I think we have a little bit of time.
And just like your innate, God has put this innate nature in you, and you know when's what's bad and what's good, what's vice and what's virtue. We know it. When we, whatever action, just start thinking, okay, that's wrong, can't do that. Or, yeah, that's wrong, but I'm still going to do it. So God already puts that in your heart. It's the act of the will. The act of the will, am I going to go forth? I'm going to think it, but then once you go forth and acting on that, then you're in dangerous grounds.
Yeah. I'm going to go through the Ten Commandments real quick, because this is important, because if to walk in the obedience of faith, we have to know what God has written with his own finger. The first three commandments deal with our relationship with God. And they're found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. And so the first three commandments can be summarized by the first one. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. That's the first commandment. The second, and I'm giving you just the abbreviation. You could read the whole thing in the Bible, Exodus 20, 1 to 17. Second commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Third commandment, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. So the first three commandments are vertical. They deal with our relationship with God.
Right.
And the last seven.
And I think, you know, the third, I just want to bring it in a, right now that we're in the situation with the Wuhan virus, the China virus. Those churches, for those of you that have your churches open, go to the church. Do not watch, even though the bishops have not mandated in your heart, it's mandated that you follow the third commandment.
That's right.
Just go. If it's available, go. Don't wait for the bishops, because it's about your soul.
Yes.
It's all about
you. And it's
you
about divine law, the third commandment. And again, let's not let the government tell the Catholic Church what to do in your heart. We are governed by what God says, not by what the government tells our bishops to do. Okay? Divine law supersedes natural law. What are the next seven commandments, they deal with what?
Okay. The second, they deal with a relationship with our neighbor.
So they're horizontal.
Yeah, horizontal.
And the first three are?
So the first three are honor your father and your mother that you may have a long life.
That's the fourth commandment.
Okay, that's a fourth commandment. And then the fifth commandment, you shall not kill. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. There you go. There's the three. And you wanted the fourth, right?
The seventh commandment.
Seventh commandment, you shall not steal. The eighth, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Ninth, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. The 10th, and you shall not covet your neighbor's goods.
When I look at these commandments here, Antifa and Black Lives Matters are breaking all of them. And by the way, even I'll tell you the truth, Democratic policies are breaking all of these. Okay, you shall not kill. Their policy says you can kill a baby and you can kill old people in a rest home through euthanasia, through a physician. I'm looking at honor your father and your mother, the fourth commandment. I can tell you, in many states, for example, in California, the public schools can take your pregnant daughter out of the school to Planned Parenthood to have an abortion and not tell mom and dad. But yet, if they want to give your daughter an aspirin, they got to get permission from you. But they can do intrusive surgery to your daughter and kill a baby and bring her back home from Planned Parenthood, and you pick her up after school. Hey, honey, how was your day?
Yeah,
oh, it was great.
That's so disturbing. Okay? So disturbing.
So
disrespecting the parents.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Have you ever seen the sexual ed curriculum in a lot of these public schools? That's, by the way, provided by Planned Parenthood. It's all about adultery. It's all about perverted sex. Yeah. It's all about breaking the sixth commandment. How about the seventh commandment, you shall not steal? I'll tell you, you shall not steal. It's called socialism, redistribution of wealth. Let's take from this person, because he's worked hard all his life, and let's give to this person that wants to do dope all day and sleep in his car. Okay? The redistribution of wealth, this is socialism, this is communism, this is stealing, violation of the seventh commandment. By the way, St. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, he says, those who don't work should not eat.
And isn't that funny? That's one of the readings
this week.
I believe it was on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's
right.
That was
one of the readings. For those of you that read your daily mass readings.
We should all be doing
that. You should all be doing that.
Eighth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It's funny, Anita. I hear a lot of the mainstream media, these talking heads, as soon as they open their mouth, they're lying. They're saying things. Here's one.
False information, especially against President Trump.
President Trump puts people in cages.
Okay, let's stop there. Cages? Okay. So you use the word. Those cages were used by Barack Obama and Joe Biden for 8 years. Before that, they were used by the Bush administration. So the last two administrations have used, and look at them. They're not even cages. They're not cages. They're people are fenced in like a schoolyard, okay? People that are here pending ICE hearings or INS hearings. The fact of the matter is, the two presidents before him have used these detention centers, but now when it's Trump, they're calling it cages. Why? Okay, it's subtle. They're trying to demonize him and say that this guy's some type of a dictator that treats people like animals. Again, this is bearing false witness.
There's verbal engineering, cages. Well, what about the people in prison? They're more in a more confined area. I would call that cages, not...
solitary confinement, absolutely.
So that's real interesting how they, it's just because of who he is.
Yeah.
And
they hate him because he's pro-life.
Yes.
That's just the bottom line. This is the way the country, pro-life, if you're a pro-life person, the left's going to demonize you. The progressive, diabolical left's going to demonize you. And if the fact of the matter is, they've got a lot of the positions of power right now. Ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You see all these sick programs put out by Hollyweird, you know, about swapping wives, programs about, desperate housewives. Because I don't watch them, but I know about them. All this stuff that promotes immorality and polyamorous relationships, many women, many men. This filth comes straight from Hollywood, which is a tool of Satan, which breaks the ninth commandment. And the tenth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods.
You know, that's where spiritual warfare, we're having war within the marriages. This attacks marriages. And that's where we, as people of faith, we need to fight against that. And that's through not supporting all these shows that promote that.
Don't watch that garbage. Don't watch it.
The more you don't watch, the ratings are lower, and
they'll take them off.
Make an impact. That's how you make an impact, and show your faith. You just refuse to support these movies or these series that try to destroy marriages.
So again, so the first three commandments deal with our relationship with God.
Yes.
The next, from 4 to 10, the last seven commandments deals with our relationship with
our neighbor.
Simple. And our Lord Jesus Christ summed up the commandments when he said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. And so these 10 commandments are God's plan for us to please him and to serve our neighbor and to get us into heaven. But the modern world doesn't agree, Anita.
No, the modern world and the culture in which we live also have a selfish set of selfish commandments, which we are supposed to live if we want to be cool. These commandments, really quick, you shall always be sure to ask, what is in it for me? If it feels good, do it. Follow your own ill-informed conscience. Those are three are Satan's plans. But anyways, I hear the music. Time to sign off.
All right, Jesus 911, retired cop, retired nurse, Catholic missionaries, signing off. We're on our way to Napa, California to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics from the Midwest Command Center. We are signing out. 10-7, Viva Cristo Rey.
Faith, family, freedom. Love you. Have a blessed week.
See you next Friday.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests, Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.